When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the 456th episode of the Pokemon Podcast. It's super effective. I'm your host, SBJ. With me is Greg.
All right. I have a very important question.
Okay.
This is a new thing I've learned, and I need to know where we all fall on it. Let's say you have a bag of fresh Skittles. Not old Skittles, no fear of Skittle jaw.
Does it have to be Skittles, or can it be a good candy?
No, okay. It has to be Skittles.
Look. Let's not go down this road.
Do you eat each individual flavor so you can savor the flavor, or do you just eat handfuls of random Skittles like a monster?
Wait, okay.
Is this a trick
judgment?
Question?
Excuse me. Because, stop. Number one, Skittles come with an instruction manual that tells you exactly how to eat them. That garbage candy. If you're going to put commentary
all it says
up
is
in
taste
here.
The rainbow.
Taste the rainbow.
Not,
does not taste
say,
the blue, taste the red, taste the yellow. Taste
I am tasting
the rainbow.
Each part of the rainbow.
No.
Each
incorrect.
Level of the
wrong.
Rainbow in its
done.
Perfect,
no.
Pure form.
No.
So
you have failed at Skittles.
You are admitting to the world that you eat handfuls of random Skittles like a monster.
I don't eat any Skittles because that is just the nastiest candy ever. It is not Sour Punch Bites.
Steve, what do you do? This is important.
I'm pretty sure this is a trick question because I'm pretty sure all Skittle flavors are the same.
They are not the same. Oh my god!
Yeah, I'm
lime,
pretty close
lemon,
there.
Lemon, green
variation,
apple,
variations on the
orange,
same. Yeah.
Grape.
Do you
none
know
of these
the
things
worst?
Taste alike.
Do you know who are the worst kinds of people in the world? People who put Skittles on their honeycombs.
Honey, like the
what?
The cereal
or the actual honeycomb?
Yes, I'm just trying to aggravate the Skittles community and the honeycomb cereal community because those people have been coming for me since day one, and you know what? I ain't having it. So put your Skittles on your honeycomb and pour some Coca-Cola in there because you know Pepsi is the better soda.
So, Steve, you are admitting not only can you not taste the individual flavors, that you just eat handfuls of random Skittles.
I'm almost positive there's like studies on this where people think that they taste different, but they actually don't. Look, we don't have.
Why would they change green from lime to green apple if they didn't have different flavors? Why would they announce to the world
it's marketing.
We are changing from green from lime, which tasted good, and then you can find those and they taste completely different, to green apple, which does taste completely different, which you would know if you didn't eat handfuls of Skittles randomly like a
there
monster.
There has to be there. I'm positive. We don't have enough time in this
look
Pokemon episode
about
Pokemon.
About.
That's maybe true, but I am almost positive there's like a blind taste test where people can't actually taste the difference between Skittles. That being said, I grab handfuls of Skittles like a monster and I eat them, and it's awesome because Skittles are pretty good candy.
No. Wrong, but you do fill your mouth with that juicy, fruitish flavor.
Yes.
Yes.
Also, Sour Patch Bites is the
sour
best.
Sour Punch Bites.
Is the best
sour,
candy.
If you want true entertainment in your life, give me a bag of Sour Punch Bites for breakfast. And I tell you, I start bouncing off the walls like a Super Bowl. It's amazing.
Like M&M's are the same flavor, but they have different.
M&M's are sad.
M&M's doesn't advertise that they have different flavors. They just
this is why they're failing in the marketing department.
They're candy coated chocolate. It melts in your mouth, not in your hand. That is the whole point.
What? No. What you missed, Greg, was the point of M&M's is to train you from being a small child that hey, this bag of multicolored pill shaped
things all taste the same, so just grab handfuls of them and toss them in your mouth so that when you get to the Skittles dilemma, you already know.
When you
it doesn't
on.
Matter all the colors.
M&M's
you just
is like
toss
level
them in.
Two, Skittles like level three.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, we're not even going to talk about the people that post online that they put Skittles, Reese's Pieces, and M&M's in the same bowl.
Okay, those people that are monsters.
They are the absolute monsters.
Although
they
at
the
my
worst.
Friend's wedding...
That's no friend.
I did mix the Skittles and M&M's just to be that person. It was the end of the night. Look, everyone already had drinks. It was like...
I hadn't had a single drop to drink. You ruined the dessert for me.
No, we were trying to kick people out. So on the way out, when they grabbed a handful of Skittles, they also got M&M's. And that's a real wake-up call right there.
You
when
are
you're
the
expecting
worst.
Fruit and you get chocolate. This is a Pokemon program.
Will is also here.
Will is here. Will, welcome to the show.
All I had to was going to say was that Greg has successfully driven me out of Minneapolis. Congrats. You win. Take the city, buddy.
Yeah. Move further south.
Don't dox me.
You know what else is further south? Texas.
Texas.
Jiminy.
We are recording this on a Saturday, not a Sunday, so I'm doubting that Pokemon news is happening.
There's no news.
There we have some. We have some. So the news we'll start off with is that Players Cup 3 is happening right now, even though all those matches have taken place, but they recorded the matches, and then they put commentary over the matches, and then they're broadcasting it on YouTube and Twitch this current weekend. WrestleMania weekend, some would say.
Who would say that?
Wrestling fans? The
and
WWE?
Because, again, I still cannot comprehend why we would do Players Cup 3 broadcasting, ask people to participate in Players Cup 4, which is also happening this weekend, and say, hey, there's a community day this weekend, when probably next week nothing is going to happen. Unless
maybe something is going
maybe,
to happen,
maybe.
And they're getting the stuff out of the way.
Max Raid. Max Raid special, April 17th, the greatest holiday.
I still can't get over when Sword and Shield released. It was like the same weekend as a community day and the same weekend for the UK regional or the UK regional tournament or whatever. So all these people in the UK who cared about competitive had to play their Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon to like try to qualify the same week in a brand new game. And heck, if they played Pokemon Go.
Well, maybe they've done the Venn diagram, and it's just like the tiniest little overlap of anybody who would care sufficiently about all three.
They like a solid date. Everybody across the organization can remember the one date. When they ask, isn't that on the 11th? Everybody says
it's all
yes.
on the 11th.
It's all
exactly.
on the 11th.
Exactly.
And then there's no confusion.
There is some news regarding Players Cup 3. So there are on April 10th and 11th is when they will be doing the Players Cup 3 region final stream. That'll be over by the time this comes up. But there will be a code card. First 50,000 people will be able to get an Eldegoss V that you can use in your deck, full art. They did this last time. It was a Zacian V, and I think it was a full art professor's research. And they did say 50,000, and boy, I don't. It was they didn't go. By the time this broadcast goes up, we'll probably on Twitter at Pokemon Podcast, we'll have the code. I'm sure you'll see it elsewhere, but if you're desperately looking for it, it'll be in our Twitter feed. There will also be a password, although that as we're recording, that hasn't been given out. There will be a password for a Dream Ball, a free Dream Ball in Pokemon Sword and Shield. Doesn't seem there's a limit for that, so I'm very confused why PTCGO has limits. Maybe it's just built in the game. Maybe they're... I don't know why Sword and Shield has never had, like, limited, like, only first 1,000 people, but PTCGO has... I got some things to say about PTCGO.
Oh, yeah, you do.
And then on April 23rd to the 25th, which is the global finals, this is where they do the top stuff, there will be a full art boss's orders for the Pokemon TCG getting given away. And there will also be, weakness policy. If you want the hard to find item of weakness policy, that will be given away, even though you could just go to Rose's Tower and buy it for 50 battle points.
That's a lot of battle points.
I know. That's more battle points than I have.
I'm confident you have more than 50 battle points.
I don't know about that. I don't know how I would have gotten them. I don't
battle. If you have the 3 ball guy shirts, you also have 150 battle points.
Oh, wow.
Why are there not more ball guy shirts?
You know,
I am actively angry that there has not been a luxury ball guy shirt.
I, too, would want one. Okay, so that was Players Cup 3. Players Cup 4 is happening. I did not participate in the Players Cup 4 VGC. It was too close to other things happening in my life. I will try to qualify for the Players Cup 4 TCG.
Ooh.
Which will be at the
plot twist
end of the month. Well, look, that was more time, right? You know?
Yeah, but judging by yesterday... You're just torturing yourself to try to do this.
So you watch, Greg.
Because
okay, so
that was beyond painful.
All I saw was something about opening 300 packs, and I said, "No,
I mean, no." The packs were fun to watch because that was a whole lot of winning.
Yes,
and then general slide into madness of watching Steve not play this game. It was awful.
Oh, PTCGO?
It's rough. Oh, my gosh,
yeah,
it's rough.
The RNG is stacked against Steve specifically at that
Oh,
game.
Yeah. 6 tails in a row. Yeah.
7. It was 7 because I flipped
Prime.
The tails on the next
yeah.
game and then I got to the tails.
This is Rosencrantz and Guildenstern territory at that point.
Do people even remember that play?
Yes.
I...
Trust Greg, you and I remember that play. Okay?
I have had code cards since like November. I open cards on my stream, you know, every time we have a scam train, anytime somebody wants to throw money at me, at every level of the scam train, we open a booster pack. That's something I've been doing well before this card drought, right? Just a fun thing to do on stream. I like collecting cards. Makes the whole, like, scam train a little more fun for viewers to be like, well, we get another booster pack. Anyways.
I mean, they don't get a booster pack. You get another booster pack. They get to watch you open it.
Greg, don't tell the secret.
Which is the true scam.
Yeah, I know. That's why yes. it's called the scam
like,
trade.
I have asked you many times to send me all of your Rosalia cards, and you have sent exactly 0.
Look, I'll eventually be in Minnesota. You can just come over, and I probably have 300+. Just grab one on the way out.
I mean, I have my own. I other wonderful fans have sent me cards because you have constantly denied me my birthright.
I have the Rosalias.
Okay.
So I redeemed all these cards into PTCGO. Last night, we booted up PTCGO. We opened up, you know, 50 Sword and Shield. We opened up 60 Rebel Clash, 100 Vivid Voltage, 50 Darkness Blaze, 50 Shining Light. You know, we opened up over 300 cards. And we had incredible luck. You know, we pulled some Zacians, we pulled some Krams, we pulled 3 different Charizards between Shining Fates, Darkness Ablaze, and Vivid Voltage.
Did you get the Charizard?
We
do,
got
you
the...
Wanna do your... Do you want to do your flex? Because you've flexed all over the internet already.
Wait, when I saw, while he's getting his flex ready,
it is.
When I saw the Shining Fates at Target, it was like in little metal, they kind of look like Altoids boxes.
The tins? Oh, the tins are a scam.
Okay, that's why I didn't get
it. Gig of scams.
No, they still have Shining Fates in it. It's just you're paying extra dollars for an Altoids tin that you probably have nothing to do with.
I have a lot to do with that.
No, you can always make, like, hot take. You can make, like, 2 Altoid tins work in your life, but once you get to, like, 5 or 6, you're running out of things to do with them.
Oh, that's like when I used to get when I used to play the TCG, and I would buy the tins, and I just had, when I moved out of DC, I think I had something like 20 of those tins stacked up. Yes. In a closet, and they were full of, like, common Pokemon
cards.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. They just hold garbage cards.
Yeah, I think New Jersey Chris inherited all those tins. Or somebody, maybe it was James, one of those kids.
Spoiler alert, they tossed them.
probably. So we opened up a bunch of packs. It was an awesome stream. It was super fun. We'll probably, like, do a super cut and put it on YouTube. And... Then I was like, okay, so there was a Cramorant deck not a meme deck, an actual competitive Cramorant deck that won a Korea tournament. Mm-hmm. South Korea, of course. And this Cramorant deck, I think right now, is also being participated in the Players Cup 3. I think they actually showed it this morning while we were streaming here. I'm thinking, mentally, I wasn't able to participate in Players Cup 4. I have, for many years, was a competitive TCG player. Players Cup 4 for TCG is at the end of the month. That's like 2 weeks away at this point. We got plenty of time. And this might be the only opportunity in Pokemon history where a Cramorant deck is actually going to be viable.
Last night's performance calls that sentence into question.
Okay, so last night's performance was one.
Use the word potentially.
The deck itself is good. Me as a player who hasn't played, well, I haven't played PTCGO in over a year, like play it. I've opened packs in it. And I haven't played competitively in a high level at in like 5 years, 7 years, I think, because I've been in this house for six. So 7 years. Boy, was I rusty. But I thought the entire time, I'm thinking the Pokemon trading card game was bad at one point, and then it was good, and then it was bad again. But I forgot that the client is the worst thing in the world.
True.
Like, my second game, I play a capture energy. So you put an energy on the Cram, and it says you can go into your deck and find another Pokemon, because you're playing the capture energy to capture a Pokemon in your deck. Very powerful card. And so I play the capture energy, and I go, this is going to be a great turn. I'm going to go in. I'm going to grab another Porygon, blah, blah, blah. And I click, and because I clicked slightly off of the Porygon, it the game was like, you don't want a Pokemon. Shuffle, shuffle, and then put my deck away. And I was like, but I did want that Pokemon.
Oh,
I just didn't
no.
click where you exactly wanted me to click. And then the game did this weird thing. It's not weird. I realized what it did. It's so silly. It's so dumb, though. Porygon has an ability where you can put as many energy, colorless energy, from your hand to your Pokemon, which is an incredibly powerful play, because in the Pokemon trading card game, you can only play one energy a turn. But when you have this Porygon up, you can play as many energy in your hand as you want. And so if I have three energy in my hand, but I only want to play two, I then have to hit the done button to say I don't want to play that last energy. And then I can carry on with my turn. In the case of, and I did that multiple times in the game. And I was against an opponent that I was going to win. And I only had two energy. So I placed those two energy and I go to hit done. But the game was like, you don't have to hit done. I didn't realize. This is the part I didn't realize because I'm a dumb. The same place where it says done to like say stop hitting energy is also the same place where it's done for your turn. So I went to hit done to say like I'm done applying energy, but the game already decided that. So when I hit done, it was like, your turn's over. Okay, your opponent's turn now. And I was like, but I was trying to hit done for my energy. I didn't get to attack for my turn. Why are these buttons in the same place? And why are they both green?
So, I mean, basically what you're saying is you need to be more careful about how you click.
Yes. User error.
Also, the game is rigged. I flipped seven tails in a row. Statistically, that is like impossible.
It is not impossible.
Well, statistically, it is improbable. Possible. It's just, yes, exactly.
Like in a chance where I was like, I just need two heads and we'll be in a very good position. And then I flip six tails. It's like, well, we were just quitting this game now because there's no coming back.
In a world where coin flips exist, six coin flips of the same type also exist.
Probabilities of flipping seven tails in a row is 1 in 128. So better than shiny odds. Better than shiny odds.
Look at that. You've messed yourself up by shiny hunting all the time.
That seems really low.
Why?
Like,
there's only two options each time.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not like 50 options.
Yeah,
there's
it's
exactly
not like rolling
two.
18 on a D40 20 times. It's just...
The entire time playing PTCGO, though, we didn't play that long. We only played like an hour and a half or something. I always think, like, people come into my stream or people ask all the time, you know, us, like, what we want from Pokemon. Like, they're always like, are you excited for a Gen 4 remake? Are you excited for a Black and White remake? Would you like to see Pokemon Z? What do you want? Like, the thing, I don't want any of that. Like,
it, I mean, I want some of that, wait.
Like, I'm excited for a Gen 4 remake. Is that the thing I wanted for the last 15 years? No. Will they eventually make remake Black and White? Yeah, probably. Is that the thing I like want right now? No. The thing I really want is just a new client for PPCGO. It's just so bad. And then somebody last night was like, "Well, maybe they don't make a new client because it doesn't make enough money." It doesn't make any money. There's no way to give this game money.
I feel bad for the company
Direwolf Digital.
Yeah, because Direwolf Digital does a lot of stuff that is very high quality, and Pokemon fans only know them for this terrible, terrible client. And I have to, at this point, assume it's the Pokemon company not wanting that client updated.
The Pokemon company international.
International.
Yeah.
Well, they don't want to put money towards it. Yes. Which is interesting, just because it's like in it. I would have, like, if I was a foreseeing person in like May of 2020, I would have said, let's toss these dudes some cash.
Didn't Wizards of the Coast used to own the Pokemon game?
Yeah, yes. They owned the first four, five. Well,
own or were they?
They were the publisher
to create. Yeah,
I mean, imagine if they still had it, then they would be part of MTG Arena.
No, because are we going to say that Magic the Gathering Arena is a more stable and more reliable product than the Pokemon trading card game online? Because I've heard that that client is not also great.
Arena?
Arena is actually very good.
Yeah. There ain't nothing wrong with Arena. Except people who don't know how to play the game and lose.
I have never... The problems that you have in watching you last night, I have never had any of those issues in Arena.
Yeah.
I think the thing that people complain about with Arena is that they are still adding all of the cards. Like, there are cards that are missing because Magic's been around and they've just introduced the Historic format. And Historic doesn't have all of the cards that are in Historic or whatever. And Magic pumps out new sets, and so they always focus on getting the new stuff in, so there is a backlog of other stuff. And there are ways to break Magic the Gathering Arena. I've watched a streamer who had like 400 things attacking and had left the... When I stopped watching, the client had been running for 24 hours and still hadn't calculated how to do the attack. It was still there. It was still chugging along, but it hadn't changed in 24 hours because the game client was still trying to figure out how to do the damage of what had just happened on screen.
Yeah, I think people's biggest complaint about Arena, like, I think really the largest community complaint about MTG Arena is there's 327 different Magic formats, ways to play the game, and they only have implemented like six.
Yeah, there's six. Like, you can't do Commander in it. You can't.
The other
do...
321 format players are like, why can't my format be represented?
Between Magic or Yu-Gi-Oh or Pokemon, that the rules of a trading card game are incredibly complex, and there's so many cards in the past and so many cards coming that would affect these rules in different situations across different formats. But I feel like it's not that much to... It's not like I'm saying, like, I want a Pokemon MMO with 17 regions and all 800 Pokemon, because that in reality would be a terrible game. But to say, like, I want a worldwide client, because PTCGO is not worldwide. There's no PTCGO in Japan. Mm. I would want a worldwide client across Mac, PC, iOS, Android, and Nintendo Switch. And it's on... three of those? I mean, it's on iPad, but it's technically not on iPhone, but, like, iPhone is your biggest market for iOS. Like, it's on Android tablets, but you can sideload it on to Android phones. But, again, you want it to be as accessible as possible. It's not on Switch, which it should be. It's on Mac and PC. There's no Japan. But to have a client, and then to have that client be able to translate, like, hey, if Japanese players are playing with Japanese cards, but they're playing an English player, the game on that end just translates the card. Like, you're now right. playing like a German player bringing English. You don't have to worry about reading German cards. It just auto-translates. And then just to have, like, a stable client. Maybe, well, like, 8 years ago, maybe the Pokemon Company International was very scared of microtransactions and having players spend too much money. But now we have Pokemon Go. We have Pokemon Masters. We have Cafe Mix. We have Pokemon Quest. We have all these games where even Masters will yell at you if you spend too much money. Like, Masters will be like, hey, don't spend this much. I mean, you can ignore it and keep spending, of course.
Hey, we've done our diligence so we can't get sued by throwing up a warning message saying don't spend this much, kid.
But we've had this conversation before where, like, they know that people are going to, like, Troll and Toad, or people are going to eBay and they're spending $100 for 200 code cards, and then they're scanning those 200 code cards in because they want code cards.
Yeah.
Like, there is the average casual player going to Target, well, before this drought, going to Target, buying, like, a Elite Trainer box, coming home, opening the 8 packs, redeeming the codes, maybe playing around a little. But that's not, like, a serious forte. Forte? Is that a good word? That's not, like, a serious, like, eight booster packs from Target, and you maybe being like, I want to get into competitive Pokemon, and getting 8 booster packs in PTCGO isn't helpful. It's, like, okay. But, like, if somebody wanted to get into PTCGO on the whim, like, having that person drive to Target, buy a theme deck, come back, redeem the theme deck, just to, like, just give me an option to buy the theme deck in the game. Like, let me just spend, $2, or let me get, like, 50 booster packs, and then I can be, like, I can get addicted to opening booster packs, and then, like, okay, I opened 50, I spent some money, now I can build a deck, or now I can trade. Like, you can't do much buying a handful of packs at Target, unless you're consistently buying a handful of packs at Target. But then you're already consistently ready to spend money.
Right. I think the Pokemon Company's noted reluctance to online things it bears its face in this. Like, they have never been great at online stuff. They have always been so overly cautious because they know they have a large kids audience that I think it really... That their sort of philosophy of not being great about online stuff out of fear just runs through everything.
There has to be, like, more kids, though, playing Go or
I'm sure, but, like, there's no communication in Go. The idea is that I think how they sort of can warp their way around it is if a kid is playing Go, they are out with their guardian who is protecting them, and there are no online I can't talk to you in Go. I can't send you chats.
You can't technically talk in TCGO.
But
you can send, like, emotes.
Outside of that, though, the thing is, like, Go, Masters, Cafe Mix, which are the three main ways that you can spend money directly through an app, right?
Magikarp Jump.
Okay, that still proves my point there. They're all on mobile devices. So for a child to have a mobile device, the parent has already made the decision to give them access to a way to spend money. And also, mobile devices do have built in, hey, you're actually not allowed to spend any money using this device or passcode for that. On the computer, there is no way to do any kind of authenticated financial transaction.
Well, they would have to build something.
Yeah, but
right. Yeah, but I think they're just afraid to do that.
It's not native to the platform where it is native to the phone platforms.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they just don't like touching it. I think they've never wanted to go down that path, and they let other people do it for them. And I think that shows a lot in all of their online stuff. So you're never going to get it. You're never going to get a good client. Just...
Well, but also, like, what if they signed, like, a 15-year license with Direwolf, and they're just, like, literally just waiting for that to run out so that they can have another company start developing it, and they're just like, we don't want Direwolf to get 5% of every transaction.
I mean, I think the amount of money they make off of Go, they could probably buy Direwolf out.
Oh, man, Direwolf ain't for sale, buddy.
Sure. Everybody's for sale.
Yeah, but is it like... They don't like Direwolf, so they're just not giving Direwolf money, and they're running out that contract. Or
I mean, that's,
or is Dire Wolf the issue? It doesn't seem like Dire Wolf.
We'd have to see the contract. What if the original contract with Dire Wolf is like, if we are ever authorized to process financial transactions, Dire Wolf gets 80% of the transaction, and the Pokemon Company is like, heck no, we're just never going to let that happen.
Well, that's true. The Pokemon Company is very good at just, we will, Kadabra.
Yeah, they run out the clock.
They will run out any clock. There are no rush.
I don't know what the reason would be. I mean, they have to know that after this last year, that client is hurting their brand. And I think they are still banking on live tournaments being their thing and not being online. I think they're still banking on this being a short-term problem. And going back to live events like how they want it to be.
The problem with like all live events, there's probably that fear of like, if we do online events, then people don't want to come to the live events. And I think other industries have proven that that's not true.
Right.
As somebody who did, I know some listeners are maybe new to the show, and Greg wasn't even on the show when I was super into the trading card game. Will was, but as somebody who seriously tried to compete in the Pokemon TCG circuit back in Black and White Emerging Powers and Noble Victors and all the way up to like Plasma Freeze and stuff, that was 3 years of my life where every single weekend I was driving 30 minutes plus up to 4 to 5 hours away to go to a tournament, spend 12 hours at a tournament because they're all poorly run, not have a lunch because, like, again, they're so poorly run that they could, like, they're so far behind that they can't even fit in a lunch break. Have some of the most ridiculous rules because, like, because the coaches or the, sorry, not the coaches, but the, like, event organizers are too scared to actually, like, deal with confrontation and then spend another 4 hours back. And that was your Saturday and Sunday. And then, like, you did that the next weekend. Like, I can't remember a weekend where I wasn't on the road hating my life at like 6 a.m. in the morning because I needed to be in like Madison or I needed to be in La Crosse or I needed to be in like Coon Rapids to participate in a tournament. And if you didn't, if somebody's like, well, just don't go to all of them, you had to because the point level was so high that you had to go to every single one of them just to even qualify. And maybe you would get like, oh, instead of 40 people at this tournament, there's only 35. But because like they were able to do at least 2 online tournaments and make up the points. But I don't ever want to go back to being on the road for an entire season to hit up Battle Roads and cities and regionals and states. And obviously, most of those don't exist anymore. They changed the names. But back when I was doing it was like Battle Roads, states, cities, regionals, nationals. It's just so time consuming. On top of being expensive, on top of like needing the cards. Like when I was in the format, the one of the best decks at the time was 4 Mewtwo's and 4 Darkrai's. $80 each for those cards. And it was like, do I want to spend $80 on 8 cards or $80 8 times? Or do I wait until after this format is over, which is in like 2 months, and then Darkrai and Mewtwo are in tins for $15? And it's like, well, that's the best deck. So I'm going to drive 6 hours with a deck I can't afford, spend 12 hours of my weekend.
Gas, restaurants, hotel, all of that. That's why I could never do competitive, even though I like enjoyed it and wanted to. It's just like, and you had to go to the big regionals. You had to.
You had to go to at least two.
Yeah. And do well at those regionals.
Like the fact that they may be scared of wanting to put money into an online client is insulting to their players.
I'm not saying it's not. I mean, I'm not saying that it's not, at this point, is a bad business practice. I'm just saying that they seem to be stuck in that mode.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think they are stuck in that mindset. And
the only redeeming thing is if they've been working on a better client and they're going to unveil it one day.
Yeah.
And that Dire Wolf Digital, the reason they're not putting money in is because they know another client is coming down the line.
I can't imagine the TCG is as travel difficult in Japan as it is here. Right?
Oh, no, they got them bullet trains.
So I still think like there is a lack of understanding of just like the distances. It's like when people from Europe are coming to visit America, like, we're going to be in Chicago, so you can come visit us, right? I'm like, Chicago is 9 hours away, mm-hmm. 7 hours away if I drive fast. Like, that's not the scope of where these things are is vastly different.
Yeah. I mean, I got from Osaka to Tokyo in about 3 hours on a bullet train. That was cool.
I don't know what that means. Where's Osaka?
Very far north.
Osaka is like where Andrew is.
That helps even less.
Is Osaka to the north or the south? I forget. Okay.
Where does Skate the Infinity take place?
I don't know.
What is Skate the
Infinity? It's a new anime, dude, about skateboarding. It's real good.
I don't know. But
here's the thing, too. This is the last point I would make. I mean, you have always had at these IRL tournaments an incredible amount of TCG players compared to video game players. Like the regionals that I top cutted at, which was in Fort Wayne, Indiana. It was the biggest regionals of like 2012, 15 or 13 or whatever. I top cutted with Darkrai Sableye. So that was like slightly after Sableye, Dark Explorers.
2012.
Came out.
There you go.
It was the biggest regionals ever in the United States. I think it was 1,200 players. It was 1,200 TCG players. And then, no joke, there was only like 200 video game players. And the video game players, they came in, and they were done in like 4 hours. And I'm here at like a 2-day-long tournament, 12 hours a day, with like no lunch break. Because they had so many players, we have to go as fast as possible, otherwise, because we need to be done in 2 days. Mm-hmm. Right before the pandemic happened with Sword and Shield, there was actually like a huge amount of VGC players. The problem is like it's obvious that there's so many people that want to participate and compete in the TCG. It's been obvious for years, right? Like, it's not like this, it suddenly became this new issue. But the problem is you have this client that is just awful to be in. It's just not, like, you can't play it would be like if Sword and, like, say what you will about Sword and Shield, if you hated the characters, if you hated the story, whatever. But when you're playing Sword and Shield, it doesn't feel like it's crashing or slogging or like you're trying to like select a move and it's just not clicking. Like, at least Sword and Shield, like, I've played Sword and Shield for almost 2 years. I think it's crashed like twice. Like, it's like, say what you, like, the game itself is actually, it works, right?
Yeah.
It's fine.
It's ironclad.
It does what
yes.
it needs to do. TCG is like, is it even going to register the new update?
I mean, there's two business problems in decision science that I can see happening potentially. One is you have people who have made a decision and they don't want to admit that it was the wrong decision, and therefore, rather than reevaluating, they dig in. And two, you have a client and rather than recognizing that people are playing this because they enjoy the game and this is the only place to play it, they're saying to themselves, the client must be fine because we have so many people playing it.
Yeah.
Right? And it's like, I mean, put the least amount of money towards the greatest return. And it's like, we got tons of people playing this, so we don't need to toss any more money at this.
Yeah, but you start off the client and you're like, oh, is this like a flash game from like 20? I mean,
this is you. This is you. This isn't Grandpa Pokemon who is like, I see all the kids out there in the field playing it, so it
we updated the wood texture. It took us 6 years, but we updated the wood texture. It exactly. looks like 4% better. Oh, gosh.
It's all about the trees. It always comes down to the trees.
Basically,
with you.
It does, doesn't it?
All right.
Unbelievable.
Let's take a break. We got some more Pokemon news. We
Dubious.
Will be right back.
I don't really care. I just choose the first black top, black shorts, black shoes, and never think about them ever again.
So you do care. You care.
All right, fine. I care. Black top, black shorts, black shoes. I care. Black top, black shorts, black shoes. I care.
So you do care. You care. You care.
Black top, black shorts, black shoes. shoes. Black hair, black top, black shorts, black shoes. Black hair, black top, black shorts, black shoes. I think the kid, the kid. Black top, black shorts, black shoes. I think the kid, the kid. Black top, black shorts, black shoes. Black hair, black top, black shorts, black shoes. I don't really care.
And we are back from our break. Let's talk about Pokemon Center.
Ooh, is this new stuff?
.com?
PokemonCenter.com. They added a new collectible Pikachu collection, but it looks like they're the Funkos, and it's presented like the Funkos because they did the silhouettes, and nowhere on the page does it say it's from Funko.
You are burying the lead. Are we talking about the
Pikachu,
Bedtime Buddy?
Pikachu moods.
Yeah,
are we going
figures.
To talk about the Bedtime Buddy? Because that's the important thing.
Bedtime Buddy?
I'd look at the landing page for PokemonCenter.com, dude, and tell me you're going to just sit and ignore that.
The massive Meowth?
Yes!
Oh, yeah, they restocked the Meowth.
That I didn't know like that had ever come out in the first place.
Yeah, it sold out like the first day.
I mean, it's $300.
Yeah, they probably only made 10 with the expectation of selling like 6, and then they sold all 10.
It's huge.
It is huge. 65 inches.
It's as big as a TV.
It's almost as big as me.
Is it?
This yeah. is like
I'm like 74 yeah, yeah. inches.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is like the Pokemon thing, though, right? You partner with somebody good, mm-hmm. they do the job, and then you do it yourself later at a cheaper price, but you still make the same profit, right? Like you partner with Wizards of the Coast, they get you off the ground. Then you make your own TCG so you can make more money. You partner with 4Kids because they know how to do anime. Then you do a couple seasons, and then you move to a significantly cheaper anime to cut costs and to hire cheaper people, and then you make more money. You partner with Funko because they know how to make toys. They made a bunch of Pikachu toys. Now you make this. It's not as good as the Funko. Like, look at the lines on this. Pikachu Mood Sleepy Figure already sold out.
But this is...
Like, this looks like Funko's work, but it's not Funko.
What you're complaining about is called capitalism.
What lines
are you talking about that you don't like?
He's looking at the paint.
It's the close-ups of the Jigglypuff. You can see,
the Jigglypuff
like,
is supposed to be a doll. So it's supposed to be sewed. Like, the lines are the seams
yeah,
of
but
the
look
doll.
Yeah, but look at Pikachu's open eye. And the red circle, they're just not painted with the precision that I want for my $15.
I mean, I will give you the circle and the eye. Like, the circle is looking a little sloppy.
But my question is, who made the Eevee seasons?
Those were also Funko.
Those were Funko, okay.
So it was the Pikachu, A Day with Pikachu.
Yeah.
Those are Funko. And then it was the Eevee. And these have like they look like the same bait. Maybe it is Funko. It doesn't say on the website. The other two did.
It's made of resin.
Yeah,
I ordered it, so I guess we'll see what the quality is.
Of course you did.
Look, I'm a fan of Pikachu. I like the boy.
You're a fan of resin.
You are a fan of being a sucker.
Going to complain on this program about a $15 non Funko product, I gotta put my money where my mouth.
No, you don't.
Well, I have to. Maybe it's good. Maybe it's all right.
What about that picture? And you complaining about that picture is going to suddenly change when you get it because they took the picture of the best one that
maybe
they had.
Maybe it arrives and it says Funko on it. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it is Funko. Maybe they just forgot to update the website.
You're just buying a product to see if it was made by Funko?
No, I'm just...
You're just...
losing my mind. You know, yeah. they showed the second part of the parade, Greg.
Oh,
they did?
Really?
Yeah, they took it off the... Because whoever's running the PokemonCenter.com doesn't know how to upload and hide a product. It was like uploaded for like 45 minutes, and then they had to take it back down. It was an Oshawott, a Scorbunny, and a Rowlet. And it was really cute and really awesome. And now I regret not buying the first part of the train.
And you can't go back.
Can't go back.
You have to go to eBay to go back. But
okay, first of all, nobody saved this image on the internet.
It's somewhere.
I'm trying to find it. Two. Okay, I want everybody to pause the video and zoom in on the chaos of memorabilia that you have behind you.
Yes. Yes.
That you are going to have to move.
Here, I found it.
5 or 6 hours, and you have to pack all of that stuff up.
I'm not helping him move.
Oh, the stuff behind me?
I'm not helping him move.
And you want to add more? Okay, the item is, I will say that, like, the problem with the first one wasn't that it wasn't cute. I see the exact same problems here that I saw in the first one.
You didn't like the cobblestone street.
I didn't like the cobblestone street. Oshawott's body looks melting weird clocks. Painted.
Yeah, Oshawott is missing on dimples, Oshawott. By the way.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, the same problems that
Spore
I had with the
Spore Bunny
first
kind
one.
Of looks like it's seeing something off to the side that is horrifying.
That is
and
horrifying.
It's like stopped mid-snacked because it's like, I can't believe what I can see with my eyes. What's happening over there?
Also, if you hadn't said that this was part of the parade and there was a beginning of it, this doesn't... Nothing about this says they're part of a longer parade. It's literally 3 Pokemon on a cart.
You can't have a parade without Pikachu. Pikachu is leading the parade.
I guarantee you, Pikachu will finish the parade.
Not
necessarily. You can just say it started here and it ends with Pikachu. They saved the best for last.
You don't think that this one is better than the first one?
No. I mean,
I like that Arcanine a lot.
Also, I can't turn it around. Like, I can't see all the things. But, like, the wheel is wonky. The Oshawott's collar is wonky. Like, there's the same things that I saw on the first one as being weird, I'm still seeing on this as being weird. Like, there's nothing about these resin models, knowing that I would be in it for the long haul and I'm paying $40 per item, that makes me think I would want to jump aboard this parade and ride it to the end. Porcelain or die.
This is off Gizmodo. Gosh, I haven't heard Gizmodo in a while. Who sent this in? Somebody from our Slack community sent this in. Robert did. Playing the world's largest 6-foot-long, 65-pound Nintendo Switch looks like an excellent workout. Michael Pick is a mad scientist behind this creation that was built from a combination of plywood and used an overall shell to embiggen the console. Oversized buttons turned out from a 3D printer and a 4K screen in the middle, measuring 70 inches long. Pick's custom Switch is 650% larger than the Nintendo's original Switch. And then it talks about how there's like a reprogrammed Joy-Con on the inside with an HDMI. And I believe... Oh, it does say this in the article. I was going to say maybe I need to go... I had 2 articles, but it does say it at the end. This was donated to St. Jude's Children's Hospital in Nashville, Tennessee, so kids can enjoy it.
So the controllers don't come off, right?
No, but there's another video that shows he just has a pro controller hooked up to it.
So it's the world's largest Nintendo Switch Lite.
True.
Way to drop the ball, Gizmodo.
Except that it's got 2 different color Joy-Cons.
But they don't come off.
Yeah, I don't think they slide up and off.
Yeah, so therefore it's a Nintendo Switch Lite.
Look, it's for kids. One kid on the red.
It's always been about truth in games journalism.
How dare you? How dare you?
PokemonGoLive.com. Rival Week begins. Rival Week brings rival Pokemon in competition, plus Therian form Landorus come into 5-star raids. From Tuesday, April 13th to Sunday, April 18th, Skrelp and Clauncher will be making their Pokemon Go debuts. They will appear in the wild, in raids, and through field research. Therian form Landorus will make its Pokemon Go debut in 5-star raids. Enjoy Rivals Week Challenge in the Global Challenge Arena. All trainers around the world can work together to win raid battles to unlock twice catch Stardust bonus for the event. Pokemon known for rivalries will appear more in the often, such as Hitmonchan, Hitmonlee, Makuhita, Meditite, Zangoose, Seviper, and more.
Did we know that Makuhita and Meditite had a rivalry?
I did not know that. I don't know where that came from.
I feel like a little bit of a stretch right there, but, you know.
Like, I'm going to go look into the trivia and see if there's anything at Mahou.
They probably have similar stats, would be my guess.
Like, well, Makuhita likes to eat, and Meditite doesn't eat at all.
Rivalries will continue in raids as well. Pokemon like Nidoqueen, Nidoking, Zangoose, and Seviper will appear more in raids. Enjoy event-exclusive research that will lead to encounters with rival Pokemon, such as Skrelp and Clauncher. And sources tell us that Team Rocket will be taking over more Pokestops more often and balloons more frequently.
Can they please have some water, fire, or grass shadow Pokemon so I can finally finish that stupid assignment?
The Mew one?
No, the original Team Rocket research one where you have to purify a water, grass, or fire Pokemon.
Gosh, that was
and it's
so
like they
long
haven't
ago.
Had those available forever.
Hey, they had a Snover. That's a grass at one point. They just had Execute. That's also grass.
I didn't get those because I was like, I'm so brokenhearted at all the shiny Seviper's or whatever that I'm getting.
Swimming in shiny Seviper's.
I am seeing nothing about this legendary Makuhita Meditite.
Meditite rivalry. Right, I also did not realize that Clauncher and Skrelp were rivals. So I would say I agree. Like Zangoose Seviper, that is lore. That is lore. Known.
And Corsola and the thing that eats it. Oh, why can't I think of its name?
Nasty green, greedy. That one. Toxicroak? No.
No, the sea urchin in underwater.
Toxapex?
Oh, Marini.
Yeah.
Marini. And Toxapex is what it turns into.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Marini eats Corsola.
Yes. That's a rivalry.
And then it turns into a Cursola.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I forgot about this news. Sorry. I should have moved this news closer to the Pokemon Center news because it has to do with Pokemon merch. This is off NintendoWire.com. Another new batch of merchandise coming. It's called Ball Freak.
What?
The line is associated with merch matching Pokemon to Pokeball designs. Mewtwo with the Master Ball, Umbreon with the Moon Ball, Sylveon with the Love Ball, Mimikyu with the Luxury Ball, and Dragapult with the Dusk Ball. Items include keychains, Mimikyu and Umbreon neckties, hand towels, sticky notes, Umbreon and Sylveon lidded mugs, socks, washi tape, clear files.
Washi tape?
It's the one for sealing letters. Remember we had
washi
that
tape
whole
is
discussion
super popular
about it.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Whole line launches in Japan online on April 24th, which means if we do get this, it'll probably be like next year.
Yeah.
And it probably won't be called Ball Freak for us.
Mm-mm.
They will probably
change the name. That would be a misplay. Yeah.
There is a very cute Moon Ball tie bar.
Ooh.
And I'd be very curious if that would come to the United States.
Except then you have to wear
a
tie bar.
Is there a picture of it? Where are you getting these pictures?
Oh, this was sent in by Slack, I believe. It wasn't. It was me. I found the news. Take that, Slack.
Get ready. New Ball Freak. Ooh. Oh, those are cute.
Yeah, it's a cute line.
Ooh, the luxury ball clip is excellent.
It's a it,
you are ties. A fan of the luxury ball.
I am, but I'm
we'll
not
have
a fan
to
of
we'll
ties,
have to import
so.
It, Greg.
Okay.
Cuz I feel like if anything's not, the cups never like come usually, the washi tape never comes. Maybe we get the socks. Maybe we get the ties. I'm not sure.
Oh, I do not like the luxury ball socks. I like
you should order them anyways socks. Just to see if you don't like them in person.
Correct. I mean, it is only fair as a professional that I waste my money getting products I know I won't like so I can verify that it's something.
So you also ordered the Pikachu Moody.
I did not do that, no.
I think that's it for Pokemon news. It's the 25th anniversary is really
off to a blazing start. It's April, right? Like, we are
2 months in.
Well into this, right? Am I wrong?
We are into something. You know, we didn't talk. There is one more bit of news. We didn't talk about chilling rains.
Chilling rain?
Yes.
Is that like the diamond rain that you get on your birthday?
Is that like chocolate rain?
No. Chilling rain is the 6th main Sword and Shield expansion for the Pokemon trading card game. It will be coming out June 18th. The Japan release is called Silver Lance and Jet Black Spirit, and that comes out April 23rd. It's supposed to have in Japan it has 140 cards. We don't know how many cards in English, but this is the set with Calyrex, Glastrier, I think is how they said it on the broadcast, and Spectrier.
Spectrobes, now added to Pokemon.
Yeah, we know there's an Ice Rider form. We know there's the Shadow Rider. There is Melanie is one of the the trainer cards in the set. I'm not sure what she does right now. And there's cast form in the set. You know, has cast form.
Is there a website that has all the leaked pictures?
I'm sure there probably is. But we'll have the whole set in less than 2 weeks because it comes out in Japan. So somebody will scan them all and we'll see everything they do. So that set's coming out. That's
chilling
like
rain as in rain from the sky.
Rain as in
rain?
Like yeehaw.
Like on a horse. Horse's reins.
Oh.
R-E-I-N.
Yeah, the yeehaw. See, it made sense, Greg. Yeehaw.
It did not. No. But sure. There's window clings?
Did you just say the word window clinks?
Cling. Cling.
What is a window cling?
You know, the plastic.
No.
The plastic thing you stick on windows?
No.
Yeah. Like, I know.
No.
As designs?
No.
People
don't,
put it on the back of their cars for whatever reason?
Oh, no.
You put them up for like Easter, you know? Right?
Yeah.
No.
Valentine's Day? St. Patrick's Day?
This.
My parents loved window
Halloween.
Clings. Yeah, they had them all. Greg, question of the week.
Now's the time in the podcast for the question of the week. I wonder what question will be asked. It's got my interest peak.
I didn't know we were going to get a second verse there.
I know, pretty well done. But you can't do that song with only one verse, really.
You really can't, because people won't know what it is.
Stuart from our Slack says, do you think there will ever be a time where you grow out of Pokemon, or will you still be playing when you're 80 plus?
I know grow out is in quotes, but I'm going to do my rant. You can lose interest in something. I dislike the people always say, are you ever going to grow out of that? Meaning that it's something only for children. I may lose interest in something, or they may do something that turns me away from the game, but I don't think liking something at a young age and continuing it on is something to grow out of. Like, I saw Star Wars as a child, and I will be a Star Wars fan forever. Just because I saw it as a child doesn't mean it's childish. I mean, is there something that they could do? Maybe? Possibly? I go through phases where I just don't want to play Pokemon. Like, I'm just not into it right now. But I always come back to it. Will they do something, or will there come a time where I just straight up lose interest? Possibly. It doesn't seem likely, given my personality, since I tend to hold on to things forever.
Mm.
But, I mean, they may take the game in ways that I don't enjoy. And that's fine. But I do not think there'll be a time where I will completely lose interest in Pokemon.
Right. Like, you're not going to get to an age where you're like, well, now I only read Proust.
Right.
I don't play video games anymore.
My eyes will probably give out and I can't see it anymore. That is the most likely scenario.
I am on that path, definitely. I think that the term grow out should only be used for like, I used to play with Duplo, and now I've grown out of Duplos, and I can play with the actual Legos.
Yes.
Right? Will I ever get tired of Pokemon? I mean, who knows? Right? Yeah. Who knows what the future will bring?
Yeah. I highly, highly doubt it.
If they stopped creating new content, new games, and they were like, we are done. We are done with this concept.
If they themselves stop, then I will probably...
If they hit their 25th anniversary and are like, we are so done with this concept, we can't even celebrate our own 25th anniversary, then I would still look back fondly on my experiences with the franchise. But otherwise, there's always something new around the corner, something new to enjoy.
I mean, even when I didn't like Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire, and I only got to like the third gym or fourth gym, and I was like, I don't like this. Like, I still liked Pokemon. There's just other things in Pokemon that I went to instead.
I mean, they are a good, expansive brand, right? Like, they have kept the quote-unquote fad alive for 25 years now.
And they've shifted their marketing to age with the people who have grown up, and they recognize, hey, people have grown up and enjoyed our product, so you know what? We're going to do fancy business shirts, expensive business shirts, custom-made. you can wear it to work.
I always sort of... They have a similar marketing strategy to Disney. Like, Disney is very much geared towards a young audience for the basis of their films, right? Like, they are G-rated films for the most part, but they are very good at still making things in those films relevant for adults,
right?
So that adults can still very much enjoy that product.
Like, how many, well, I know this is Pixar, but like, how many,
right,
like 8-year-olds understood the first 20 minutes of Up? Maybe,
right,
maybe it was like 10 minutes.
It's like 10 minutes, and it is a rough 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I think they are good at, both companies are very good at finding the all ages line that works, right?
Yeah.
Like, there is stuff that adults can pick up and understand at a deeper level that are still a part of the movie. Like, Pixar's Soul is a very, very good film. And there are themes in there that really only resonate with adults, but the concept and what happens in the movie still resonates with a younger audience. Like, they're very good at straddling. I think Pokemon is very good at straddling all ages and doing all ages well.
Well, they've said multiple times in interviews that when they make a new Pokemon game, they think about new players coming in.
Right.
I think that's why maybe people have nostalgia for the first game they play. We were talking about this before the show of how people will be like, oh, my favorite game is the first game I played. They did a really good job at capturing you, and they can't recreate that again.
Right.
If your first game was Diamond and Pearl, and then your second game was X and Y, you will never have that same feeling that you had with Diamond and Pearl. There's no game company, movie, whatever, can recapture that first initial thought or experience. Sorry.
Right. And people are actively making themselves unhappy trying to chase that first initial thing that'll never happen again.
But that's not to say that they don't care about their old fans. Because they include so many things to help old fans still enjoy the games, whether that's like bottle caps or the battle tower or updating all the ability, like the mechanical things that like a new fan wouldn't even notice, or like a new fans wouldn't be like, oh, you didn't have bottle caps 10 years ago.
Right. Yeah. Like the things that aren't as impactful to new people, right? Like quality of life changes aren't impactful on new people because they don't have a quality of life experience with a series of games. Like, this is their new game, and this is how that game runs. So quality of life changes are very much for old fans. Like, we have updated this aspect to make this easier for long-term fans of the game. Like, and they're very good at doing that.
And sometimes they cut stuff that a very vocal / very small percent of fans enjoy, but that would be like, for example, like the Battle Frontier.
Or like, Starly, yes.
Like they said that they put a lot of work into Battle Frontier, and they saw that a lot of players never interacted with it. And so because players didn't interact with it, they didn't want to put the amount of time. But those players that did interact with it are very, very vocal.
So good. I mean, so it's like, it's a shame that some of those things don't get explored more. But again, anything that's post-game is always going to be for the smallest version, the smallest population of players, right?
Yeah.
Like, credits roll, done with game.
Yeah.
Post-game stuff is always going to be a minority of players. And I do think of post-game stuff, Battle Frontier is one of the best ones they ever did. Again, anything that, like, you can never rely on anything that's post-game sticking around unless it's a catching mechanic, and even then, that's questionable. Like, friend safaris have never come back. It's post-game stuff. You can never rely on post-game stuff coming back.
Which is, I wonder why maybe they moved the legendary to post-game, like in Sword and Shield, because it then makes you, because you want the legendary.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Mewtwo is technically post-game.
That's
for,
true. Yeah. True. Yeah.
Like, they do keep, like, a catching mechanic post-game, and those are usually easy to do right away. You get them. You get introduced to some incredible.
Oh, let's not say easy.
Characters.
I mean, like Rayquaza Deoxys was like 3 hours to like get through that. It's like, geez, I just want.
It was not that hard, and you got to meet a very important character.
Yeah, she's cool.
Who becomes important in Masters later.
She's
so
cool.
Shush.
Mm. One of my favorite things ever was when, like on the PlayStation, there's trophies, and so I remember like playing Destiny, and you could see like. Only 80% of people got this far in the game because you could tell by the trophies. And I think the best part of Destiny was when they introduced the raid, which was Vault of Glass.
Yeah.
And for like the first year of that game being out, if you were to look at how many people completed Vault of Glass, it was like 2% of all PlayStation players. But that was legit the best part of Destiny.
Absolutely.
And only 2 out of 100 people.
It's the Battle Frontier.
Able
problem.
To experience that. And as like Destiny became like a 3-year-old game, I think that number eventually topped out at like 20% because they like made it easier to get into and stuff. Also, that was like a living game. Like they were updating it every.
Yeah. I mean, and that also happens with like Final Fantasy 14. There are some of the best dungeons. Aren't mandatory. They're, you know, late in the game after people have completed the main quest, and then people just drop off until the next expansion. But some of the best dungeons are not mandatory dungeons. They're just super fun to do. And I think that's just the life cycle of keeping your hardcore players happy is always going to be like hardcore players, like your hardcore fans are always going to be the minority of people who play your game.
Going back to the question of will you ever grow out of Pokemon, my mom said this to me multiple times.
Yeah.
Before Pokemon Go, it was a very common thing of like, when are you going to grow out of Pokemon? And then as soon as she started playing Pokemon Go, that expression left her vocabulary.
My mom used to say to me all the time, she used to get mad that I play video games. And so I would, for her birthday, buy her handheld games. Like, you know, just something to do in your spare time. And then 2 months later, she would send me angry voice messages like, how dare you get me addicted to these things? And I'm like, this is what you can't tell me to stop playing these super fun things when the minute that you have one, you can't put it down. She was addicted to Tetris for a long time. And Pac-Man. I bought her a mini Pac-Man machine. And she's like, you have to buy me another one because I broke it. Because I played it too much. I always want to ask sportball watchers, like football players, when are you going to grow out of football?
Yeah.
Right? When are you going to grow out of these things? You played those as a kid.
When are you going to grow out about liking cars?
Right. When are you going to grow out of that? Like, you may eventually lose interest. Sure. Things change. I may eventually lose interest in Pokemon. It could happen. I do not see that as a likely outcome because I'm clearly a huge fan of show that I can talk about it for an hour and a half every week without a problem. I don't foresee that being a likely outcome.
Will, what is our Pokemon of the week?
Well, the Pokemon of the week from last week, it was very short.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost feel like going into school teacher mode about, once again, listen to all the words, because a lot of people made assumptions because they left out some of the words. But I'll just read the whole thing again because it was really short. A is for the ability Thick Fat. P is for Purple Shiny. R is for the region Hoenn. I is for Ice Ball. L is for Lower Brine Cave.
It is always the last line that's the most important. It's
Flapple.
Ooh, no.
That needs to be one.
There are no Flapples in Hoenn.
There aren't.
Not with
it's
that.
It's Walrein.
Walrein?
Walrein.
Walrein? I think it's Walrein.
Is it Walrein?
Walrein.
W-A-L-R-E-I-N. Yeah, probably Wall for Walrus.
Yes.
Rain for...
Rain
yeah.
for... No.
Exactly.
Stop. Although, I'm going to argue that I think, like... Its shiny looks more pink than purple to me, but that is just a me
thing.
It's
a puce. Let's go with the puce.
Yeah, puce for puce. Puce is a good one. Walrein is based on a walrus. Good trivia. Thanks.
There's really no trivia for Walrein?
There's no trivia.
What?
That is it. Walrein may be a combination of walrus and a corruption of rain or rain.
This is a Gen 3 Pokemon, right?
Yeah. And it's one that appears in a lot of things. It has got a excellent shuffle and a very, very good shiny.
I don't care about Walrein, but man, Spheal is a winner.
Yeah, true. True. But there are no Spheal in Lower Brine Cave, friends.
Why is Spheal a winner and Walrein not? What, is it because it's just a big round boy?
It's the big ball.
Oh, yeah. He's a ball.
He's a big old ball?
I mean, Walrein is cool. But if you, like, come on. It's Spheal. There's no competition.
Are we all just going to ignore Celio in the middle?
Celio's actually all right.
Because Celio's not. It's like,
Celio is, this is what I'll say. If we look at other seal families, we got Seal, S-E-E-L, peak creativity. They really knocked it out of the park in Gen 1.
They really knocked it out of the park with that one.
We got Seal into Dewgong, and we got Spheal into Celio. And Celio is at least something. Dewgong is like nothing.
Mm. What do you mean Dewgong?
Dewgong
is like
one of the most bland Pokemon ever. What?
That's going to be Pokemon of the Week in 2 weeks, so I can revive Dewgong.
Dewgong, how could you? How could you?
Goldie? Dewgong is so boring.
It's got a horn. It's got a sweet horn, a cute mermaid tail. It's got cute tusks.
You've just described Goldeen.
No, Goldeen doesn't have tusks.
Celio's all right.
I mean, are you going to not bring in Popplio, the other sea lion?
Oh, Popplio blows them both out. Like, Popplio's awesome.
I thought Popplio was a dog.
No, Popplio's a seal.
A dog. I mean, at least Dewgong is based off of something.
Yes, Spheal is based off of a beach ball. Come on.
<That's> true.
Well, what's next week's?
All right. This is a long one.
Oh, no.
So strap in. Now that my shiny hunt for Shinx has ended, I have started a new shiny hunt on Snapchat. If you are curious as to what it will be, solve this week's Pokemon. And this is with apologies to the talking heads. Honeycomb is where I want to be. Pick me up and turn me round. I feel numb, burn with a weak heart. I guess I must be having fun. The less we say about it, the better. Make it up as we go along. No feet on the ground, head in the sky. It's okay, I know nothing's wrong. Nothing. Hi-yo, I got plenty of time. Hi-yo, you got light in your eyes. And honey gathering here beside me. I love the passing of time. Always for honey, never for love. Cover up and say goodnight. Say goodnight. There's a second verse. Honeycomb is where I want to be, but I guess I'm already there. I come home, she lifted up her wings. Guess that this must be the place. I can't tell one from another. Did I find you or are we three? There was a time before we were born. If someone asks, this is where I'll be, where I'll be. Hi-yo, we drift in and out. Hi-yo, buzz into my mouth. Out of all those kinds of Pokemon, you got three faces to view. It's just an animal looking for a comb. Share the same space for a minute or two. And you love me till my heart stops. Love me till I faint. Just like Salandit, eyes look through you. Look for the red spot. It's on the head. Ah, ooh. I can actually sing this one. Like, if I had the music, I could sing it all out.
All right. Karaoke special coming up.
Wait. Oh, man.
YouTube's going to flag. That was so accurate. YouTube's going to flag it for.
I know.
Copyright. Well, thank you for listening. Thank you for making it to the end. We will be back next week, of course. If you want to follow on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, Twitch. There's another one I'm missing. Instagram, Twitch, TikTok. Anyways, PKMNCAST on all of those. If you're watching this on YouTube, feel free to like, hit the subscribe button. What is the other thing? I don't know. Leave a comment about your favorite Spheal.
Which Spheal do you like?
What Spheal do you love? Thank you for listening. Thank you for making it to the end. If you want to follow Will on Twitter, it is at Wash in the Sink. If you want to follow Greg on Twitter, at White Wing, myself at Dragging a Lake. And I'll be streaming Pokemon this week on Twitch, like always, twitch.tv/PKMNcast. I think that's it. Thank you to anyone who left us an review in Apple Podcasts. Appreciate any reviews. If you want to hear more of Will and myself, we are doing a Monster Hunter podcast called The Carve, which you should be able to find in any of your podcast feeds. We talked about Gross Hagrid and the rampages and the long swords and the switch axes and the hammers. But The Carve is available wherever you find podcasts. Otherwise, I think that's it. Thanks for listening. This has been another episode of the Pokemon Podcast, and we are
super effective.
Super Skittles taste different.
Oh, jeez.
100%. What is that cram on your finger?
That's a little finger cram.
Finger Welcome puppet. To finger cram.
This podcast is supported and funded by Patreon. If you would like to support the show, you can head over to patreon.com/PKMNCAST. A huge shout out to the producers of our show, Kevin, Steven, Steph, Sean, Bovine, Potato, Patrick, Matthew, Kay, Catherine, Casey, Josh, Jetsy, Jessica, Horatio, Courtney, Brian, Brady, and a shout out to our three executive producers of Spencer, Joseph, and Anthony. Thank you so much for your support. If you too would like to support It's Super Effective and join our Slack community and join our Patreon, you can head over to patreon.com/PKMNCAST. Or you can just head over to isc.cash. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next week.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.